Hey everybody, welcome back to Teach a Kid to Read. Today we have a special opportunity to sort of interview Doug Kempton, who is the lead pastor at a church in Detroit, Michigan called Grace Community Church. And his church has been involved in literacy for some time now. And I wanted to get Doug on just to ask him some sort of nuts and bolts questions about being a literacy church. How's that happen? Is it hard? Is it easy? Basically, I want to give Doug a chance to sort of show that you can be a literacy church too. So, Doug, thanks for being here.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Could you begin just by kind of telling us how Grace Community Church became a literacy church?
Yeah, in our case, I was a parishioner at the church before I was on staff. I was in the business sector and sold my business and actually started a nonprofit that did sports and literacy. And it was always designed to be an extension of the church, a separate nonprofit, but a place where we could get the people of the church involved and active. So along the way, I took a position at the church as the executive pastor eventually. And for the last 9 years, I've been serving in the lead role. Love what I do. So that's really how we began this marriage, if you will, between the nonprofit that's doing literacy and the church. And it's just been a beautiful. I no longer run the nonprofit. We have somebody else that does that. But we're still absolutely arm in arm locked in this effort to teach every willing third grader in Detroit to read at or above grade level. That's our mission.
Doug, how is it going as a literacy church?
The church is on board. The beauty of literacy for us is it's just, I don't want to say it's an easy story to tell. It's not hard for us to paint the picture of what happens when you teach a young person to read. The beauty of being able to sit across the table from a young person and encourage them and give them what they need. It's a wonderful, and again, I'm struggling over the word easy because I don't want to paint a picture like, oh, there's nothing to it. But it's a easy story to show the impact to really bring people in. So the church has really taken hold of it, and it's a great thing.
Why should churches care about literacy?
The church needs to care about literacy because, to me, it is one of the if we are to care about justice and doing justice, which the Bible is clear that we are, then the gap that exists, especially in urban communities and literacy, is the very picture of injustice. So in our context, post-pandemic, the literacy rate in the public school in Detroit is 13%. And that's in the second, third grade class. So 13% of the kids are proficiency. Pre-pandemic, we were getting pretty close to 20. So there's just been an added drop there. If you compare that to almost any suburban context, usually somewhere in the 80%. So it's almost the exact opposite. And so what I would say is that this is just it's a wonderful opportunity for us to step into an injustice and do justice, teaching a kid to read. And the truth of the matter, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to teach a kid to read. It's a beautiful thing to watch a child like light up when they finally get this and to excel in school. And yeah, the benefits are huge. So we should care because it's a way to serve. It's a way to give somebody something that's tangible that they need. You don't have to keep giving it. When you teach a child to read, they can read. They excel. So it's a gift that they get to then use to move forward.
Why is local literacy an excellent addition to a church's mission?
Literacy is an incredible addition to a church's mission because it can be executed by almost everyone in your church. I tell the same story all the time. My daughter is 12 years old. She tutors for 1 year. First grader who came in basically that she couldn't score in proficiency. She had no reading ability. So she's pre-primer. She's That's where she came in. She leaves after 1 year at basically above second grade. So 2.5 grade levels, 12-year-old girl. I love my daughter. My daughter's brilliant, but I just remind people she's 12. Look, if a 12-year-old can do it, the rest of our kids can do it. High schoolers can do it. Senior citizens can do it. Retirees can do it. It is so accessible to everybody. It's just a beautiful thing. And so you can just get the masses, if you will, to be involved. And then you got this one cause that you're all talking about. It's a beautiful thing. So that's what I love about it, is just that we can all participate in what we're trying to do here. It's not just for the adults or even just for the educators. You know, we start talking about literacy and all the people who are already in the education space are quick. So I'm like, I'm glad you want to help. Great. But so can the average person down the road who's not in the education space. And that's just it's a beautiful thing.
What are some advantages to being a literacy church that people may not have thought of?
Yeah, one of the big advantages to being a literacy church is just the unity that it creates amongst the body, having that common cause. When you're fighting for something, when you're pulling together, when you can look at something and say, hey, we are all doing this together. Nothing unifies a group of people more than a common cause. Whether that's, even a short-term mission trip can do that. Like we have this one thing we're doing, all of a sudden those people are friends for life because they did this thing together. So if you want to create unity in your church, literacy is a wonderful piece to put in place. Again, you get cross-section of people. It's, young and old. It's not an income-based thing. You get this beautiful cross-section and suddenly we all have that same goal. It's incredibly unifying.
What are a few ideas leaders can use to activate their community of faith to get involved in literacy?
In your community or near your community. If you're in the Midwest, we can name a few people and SOAR being one of them, like lean into the people who are already doing it, learn from the people who are doing it. But honestly, Tony, like if it just starts with we're going to go into the school and we're going to read with the kids, it makes a difference. I mean, is there a way to do more? But if that's your first step, is just, hey, we're going to have this opportunity to sit and read and help, have the child even reading to you, helping them sound out words. There's an element of this that really isn't rocket science. Some of it is just practice and help and somebody pointing out, nope, when those two letters are together, this is where it sounds, and they hear that enough and suddenly it's in their paths, their brain paths. And so, it doesn't have to be as complicated as our program. This better than I do. There's just some really great programs out there that have kept it very simple. We're just going to be with the children. We're going to read with them. We're going to help them to read. And, many of the kids pick it up just from that little bit.
Doug, what are some steps to becoming a literacy church?
I don't know that I have a good answer for that one. I don't know that as where I've been through this whole process, if I would be the one, the education specialist probably can answer that question better than you. But I would say you meet the child where they are. You make them feel comfortable in the room where they are. So I know one of the things that we've done well, and I encourage anyone that's doing it well, is our kids don't know what grade level they're reading at, because we don't want to create a shame base. We also don't want them to be frustrated. So we try to always have them in that challenged but not frustrated state. And that's not really that hard to figure out. So when they can't read a book, I know with my guy that I tutor on Tuesdays, if I can tell he's beginning to get even a little frustrated, I'm like, hey, let's just pick a different book. Because I want him to be trying to work out some words, but I also want him to feel good about it, to grow in it. And so what's needed for a third grader as opposed to a first grader, that's above my pay grade. But I certainly think meeting the kids where they are, helping them not to have any shame, I'm in third grade, but I can only, there isn't a kid in our program that would know I'm in third grade, but I only read at the first grade level. It's all done by colors. They get another color. They're just excited that they get to move up a color. But that's important. Like you're protecting self-esteem. It's a big part of it. It's a big part of even, I would say most of the kids that I've ever worked with, it's as much about their confidence as anything else. Like as soon as they get the confidence that they can do it somehow, they're not thinking so hard and they're reading along. So a big part of it is just, you can do it. You got what it takes. You're smart. Some kids have never heard that. Like, I'm smart. All right. It's a beautiful thing.
How do you keep people in the church motivated?
The single most important thing to do to keep people motivated is tell the stories, not the statistics, the stories. And it's interesting. I think most churches, most nonprofits, they know this. They there's been enough research out there that people don't give when you tell them how many people are starving. They give when you tell the story of that one child who's starving. So for us, it's story, 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 story. Anytime you're always detectives listening for, hey, this happened, a parent comes in and shares a story of what's happened in school. Hey, can we capture that? Can we somehow tell it? We always want to protect the children, never telling a story without everyone's permission and all that. But they really want to know when, little Susie, little Johnny, this is what happened. This is how it changed. He came in struggling in school. Wasn't just struggling to read, but was acting out in all kinds of ways. He's a model student now. He's teaching. Like, and they see, whenever it's appropriate and allowed, they see Johnny's face. Suddenly, it's just a completely different. Yeah. So it is all about the story. So the statistics are important. They're as important for you to know as a leader and to know why we're doing what we're doing. But people aren't very motivated. But it's almost overwhelming. I mean, when I say 13% of the children in Detroit read at grade level, some people just, that statistic is overwhelming. I can't fix that. Like, that's their response. But when I say, here's John, here's what happened with Johnny, they're like, oh, I could do that. And that's really all we can do anyway, is, take care of the next child that's in front of us, offer what we're offering. I think that's the key. The key is story.
Doug, do you have any tips to support the volunteers?
I think it's important. If you end up partnering with an organization, it's important that they have a good volunteer care process. If you're doing it yourself, I think you have to do the same. You have to watch for the best stories, celebrate the best stories, celebrate the mentors that are doing the things you want them to do. It's going to take less than you think as a church leader because of what happens when they're in the room, especially if you develop a mentoring base where they're with the same child. That relationship is going to do as much as anything to keep it going. But there is an intentionality that has to come with this for sure.
How have you integrated literacy into your sermons?
Yeah, I think it's probably not as often as it should be. Even thinking about this interview, I was like, I probably could do a better job of keeping it in front of them even more. But we use video. We use, telling the story via video is one of the means. But I tell the stories often. It easy can be a part of a sermon illustration. The way our tradition works, we take a regular pause once a month to talk about those areas where we have our hands missionally outside of the church. And so that ends up being one of the topics regularly. I've never actually preached on literacy, but I preach on justice often. It's an important topic to God. And so I feel like we have to talk about what it looks like to step into the needs of our community in a way that's relevant.
Is there anything else I haven't asked?
If you want to win the favor of your community, serve their children. Honestly, if you want a voice in the lives of parents, make sure they know you love their kids. And so what we've discovered, and again, I didn't do this. I wasn't even in my role now, when I started it, it never was about growing the church when I did it. But what we've discovered is we've loved the children well, as we've made it clear over time that we're in this with you, that we're gonna care for your kids as best we can so that you can care for your kids even better. We've won favor with the community. We've won favor with the families. And it has changed the DNA of our church, but it's also, it's been a wonderful growth strategy for the right reasons.
Doug, that was great. That was great. And I think you're right. I think we don't use schools and children to benefit some bottom line, but there's no doubt that when we release love and compassion, right, and generosity and a desire for a just, good, and beautiful world into our neighborhoods, that we can't help that the boat of our church can't also rise on that tide. There's just no doubt.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Much better.
Thank you for your time, my friend. This is great. Here at Teach a Kid to Read, we want to continue to bring you thoughtful conversations about the process of getting involved in literacy, of changing the lives of neighborhoods through literacy, helping local schools. There's very little left to the neighborhood that everyone can agree on these days, but local schools, everyone can agree upon. And we need to all fight for our children. So thank you so much, Doug, and for this conversation. This is Teach a Kid to Read. Please come back. See us again.
Teach a child to read. Give a child a chance. It's as simple as that.